In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And this week we're doing a little bit of a different type of episode. I want to talk about something that's kind of a personal thing for me. Is that okay, Mike?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm interested. And I want to know what's going on.
Well, it's going to touch on some of our cultural things. We've touched on it a little bit before.
Okay.
But I'm going to go a little more in depth with this.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to set the premise up for us, okay? Typically, I'm a guy that has a pretty set standard of dress, right?
Yes.
I dress in the same way almost all the time. I typically wear some kind of shorts, usually with either an elastic or a drawstring type waist. Board shorts are a good example, like surfboarding shorts, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Sweat type shorts, long, mind you. Oh my gosh, I left the ringer on my phone.
How dare you? Sound.
Interestingly enough, it wasn't what I was hoping it was, which was an update on my order. The order is, in fact, which we'll be talking about, something I've actually ordered.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of, I like that.
So this is how I dress normally, is the shorts and then t-shirts, usually with some kind of an image printed on it, of some kind of geek or nerd pop culture-y type image.
Okay.
Right? Like today I'm wearing my Thor versus Ultron shirt.
Yes.
Nobody can see it but Mike, but I can at least explain it to you. It's a Thor versus Ultron Marvel Comics shirt. In fact, I think it's even the old Marvel Comics version of Thor with the winged helmet and all that.
I kind of like that. Yeah, I was noticing that. I was like, wow, that's like the old, like, 60s, 70s.
Yeah, like the original Avengers Thor.
Yeah. Silver Age, at least.
Yeah. And then I have, you know, various types of socks, sometimes socks that have, you know, designs on them or different colors and whatnot. Anyway, point being.
Yeah.
You, for instance, are a gentleman that wears jeans almost all the time. You're almost always in a pair of jeans.
Yeah, most of the time I'm in a pair of jeans or possibly in a pair of cargo shorts.
You're a jort lover, aren't you?
No.
You don't like the jorts?
Not a fan of jorts, dude. Like, I've seen them kind of come up more recently, too, and I've just never gotten into them.
So it's more the cargo ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're a jeans guy, jeans and t-shirt. T-shirt can be plain. T-shirt can be, like today, you're just a plain white t-shirt. But most time you have t-shirts that are more musically inclined, right?
Somewhat. Music, video game stuff, mashup graphic tees are kind of like what I go for. So things that like double reference, you know. Okay. Yeah, so
you try to be a little more complex with your t-shirts than mine. Mine are just like, hey, look, it's a Flash symbol. He must like comic books. Whereas like, okay, that's like, it looks like it's 8-bit, like a Mario game or a Zelda game. So it's like some kind of Nintendo game, but it's like a band logo. That's weird. Yeah. Okay.
There's some of those I've seen. There's one that's actually, it's the TMNT. It's the Michael Bay TMNT.
Okay.
But they're done in the style of the Demon Days Gorillaz album. So it's the side profiles of them in like a four
nice.
Square kind of a deal. That's kind of like, I go for that stuff because like I'll double reference it as much as I can.
So you're trying to be a little bit sneaky and smart with your clothing.
Yeah, yeah. People that, I like when people tend to notice, oh, I know what both of those are. Yeah. I dig your, you know, whatever. It's fun.
It's kind of a shared thing that you can have with
yeah.
them. So this is kind of the way that we dress. Now, I'm bringing this up because when you're going somewhere, say you're going out for the day, you're going to be out going out shopping. What do you take with you? Your dress. So what do you take with you?
You're talking like what stuff do I take with me?
You have like your keys with you, right?
Oh yeah, keys, your phone, wallet. Pretty much that's it. Keys, phone, wallet. Why something to cover my head.
Why is that it though?
Just because I feel like I don't have, I don't necessarily need much more than that. I will sometimes, well, when I go shopping, I'll do that. If I'm heading off to a job, I got a backpack full of my stuff.
Okay, you carry a backpack.
Carry a backpack when I'm going to work. I carry my, I do digital mixing, so I carry my iPad in it. I have gloves to handle backpack. Gear with. Like, so if I got the heavy gear, I'm moving around. I got gloves to protect my hands. I got, cables, wiring, phone chargers, iPad chargers, maybe notepads, earplugs, that kind of stuff. I'm a sound guy, so that's what I do.
But in your day-to-day life, you don't feel the need to carry anything more than what fits in your pockets?
Not really so much, no. Okay. Personally, that's just for me. I've seen people that carry more than that.
That's part of what I'm getting to.
Okay.
Do you feel, now here's the question, do you feel that that's just because of you as a person doesn't need very many things, or do you feel that there may be something more involved in that?
I never really thought about it, but I feel personally for me as a person, my myself needs only pretty much those things for the most part. I don't tend to need to carry around a lot of stuff with me, especially in the fact that for today, just today, really, a lot of stuff is held digitally. Like, I still carry my cards in my wallet. I carry a little cash in my wallet, but I don't need to carry a lot of stuff with me. But there's also not a lot of, well, and we may not, I'm going to hold off on that thought until you go to your point.
Say more.
Keep going on your thought. My main thought is there's not a lot of, I feel that men do not have the, they don't have the stigma or need to carry around a lot of extra stuff. Like my wife carries a purse, right? She carries a metric ton of stuff in that purse.
Have you ever found it necessary to use the things in her purse?
For myself, no.
Yes, you never found it.
Not for myself, but at the same time, she carries a lot of stuff that has to do with a lot of, she's got a lot of extra stuff. Like, here's the deal. With her, she could easily find, and if she had a pair of pants that had usable pockets in them, which most of the time they're very tight, the pockets are very small.
Which we'll go into that
later. Case in point with me, like, I could see her carrying her keys in her pocket. She used to do it. She used to work retail. She would carry manager keys on her. It's not like she's going to carry them in a purse. So she would carry keys Speaking in her which, pocket.
Just quick question. It's kind of a personal question, just from me knowing you. Mm-hmm. Do you actually put your keys in your pocket now, or do you still have that little key?
I hang them on a carabiner. Yep, a little carabiner. It's
hanging
like,
from your belt loop, right?
It's really funny because it seems to be a very... it's actually been pointed out as a Sacramento joke. A lot of sound people carry their keys on a carabiner on their hip instead of in their pocket. I hate the feel of keys in my pocket. Yes. I hate it.
Well, and it's pressing up against your leg. It's
yes,
tight.
I hate it. They can't. Whenever I got to reach into my pocket, most of the time I'm probably sitting down. So I want flat things or paper, or the only thing I carry in my pockets really most of the time in my front pocket are my guitar picks. And that's pretty much it.
So you put your phone in the back pocket?
No, I put the phone in the front side pocket. Yeah. I carry my picks in the little tiny change pocket, quote unquote thing, and in my left pocket most of the time because I'm right handed. I never carry anything in there.
Interestingly, that's not a change pocket. The original
Is that a button pocket?
The original purpose for that pocket on jeans. We're talking on men's jeans. Yeah. Right hand. There's the right hand
little
pocket.
Tiny pocket
and there's
up
a little
in the
tiny
top.
One. Mm-hmm. It was actually originally designed for pocket watches.
Oh.
Yes, it was originally designed for a place for your pocket watch
to
go.
Oh, okay.
And then the watch chain would
hang
down.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was originally a pocket chain or pocket watch pocket. Okay. We've used it for change, but it's for a pocket watch.
Yeah, totally.
So that your pocket watch wasn't all the way down in your pocket.
But yeah, like I see what my wife goes through whenever she's – I understand her not – sometimes she shares that she doesn't necessarily want to go out, and I don't think it's like the anxiety about – I don't necessarily think it's so much the anxiety about having to be around people because some people just don't dig that. I'm not saying that she has that really.
I can say I don't necessarily like going out with a bunch of people around. I don't go into I don't go into like grocery stores typically in the first week of a month.
Yeah.
Because it's not that I have an issue with people that that need government assistance, food stuff, or money to subside. I don't have a problem with that. I've been that person.
Okay.
For many, many years, we needed that kind of government assistance. We were
totally
on food stamps. We were on all those things. We struggled in our lives. We are lucky enough to not have to use those systems anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no issue with people who need them because
yeah,
they are
totally
struggling
not
in their life.
Well,
the problem I have
happen,
is not so much the people, it's the vast number of people. Because of having that kind of money only come in once a month,
mm-hmm.
you find that people will go out the first week of the month and spend almost all of it. It's a psychological phenomenon.
Yeah, totally.
That actually helps to keep people in a poverty cycle because you only get so much money at the beginning of the month.
Mm-hmm.
You spend it all and then find the rest of the month that you have no money.
Right.
Because of the way that the system is set up. And so for the first week of the month, it's hellacious. And then every Wednesday after that,
mm-hmm.
this is something to test yourself on.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a grocery store, or like, I know you're not necessarily a big Walmart shopper,
right?
But go to somewhere like a Walmart or even a Target on Wednesdays. And you know what you'll find a lot of?
Uh-uh.
You find more elderly people because Social Security payments come out on Wednesdays based on your it's either based on your Social Security number or your last name. First Wednesday, second Wednesday, third Wednesday, fourth Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Of each month is when the certain Social Security payments come out.
And so
for,
I mean, if you're
for
on
older people, Social Security.
If you're on Social Security, you're probably going to be trying to save money on food, and you're going to probably end up in like a place like Walmart.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And the thing is, they go out that day because they've been basically without money until they get paid this one time a month.
Right.
And then they do whatever shopping they can and do the best to keep that money going through the rest of the month, which it is not easy.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
It's a very weird adjustment especially when you work in our normal society where you get a paycheck typically every 2 weeks. To go to a one-time a month payment, mm-hmm. it really messes with your head because it's such a long distance between your times of payment.
Yeah.
You find yourself in a weird financial conundrum. Yeah. So I avoid those areas during those times because, again, a lot of people.
You get a lot of people,
and it's not about the specific people. It's just I don't do well with a lot of people. So I understand what you're saying about the
– Yeah, totally.
Anybody can have some kind of anxiety going out with large groups of people because it's scary. But anyway, you were saying so you're part of the reason you think your wife may not want to go out, it has to do with what, her purse?
Yeah. Did you see the amount of crap she has to carry in that purse just to go out and do stuff?
She has to carry? Why does she has to carry?
That's something that I feel like she feels she has to carry.
Okay.
I don't think it's the fact that she carries a purse or the fact that the purse itself exists and she has to carry it with her. But I believe that a lot of it comes down to, like, think about it this way. We went to a show last week before, right?
Okay.
And so what did she do? We were in a hurry. We had to leave. She had to throw all of her makeup in her purse and then go take that and do her makeup while I'm driving on the way to the show.
Well, I'm going to say this now, much. You're a fairly smooth driver then, sir. If she's doing makeup in the car.
That's a decent thing. I would hope so. I drive like an old person, which is fine by me. I don't care. When I say that, I'm staying, you know, a good amount of footage away from the car in front of me.
Mike's making fun of old people is what's happening.
I am not making fun of old people. You guys know, like, here's the deal, like, I drive like that, except I'm also considerate enough to not stay in the left lane. So
that's a very good point.
I'm self-aware.
That's
okay,
a very good
but
point
you know
right
what
there.
I don't do? I don't get in car crashes. That's what I don't do. So it's a good example to live by,
I can say I'm pretty much close to the same. I go like 5 miles over the speed limit at the most, and that's on the freeway. So like if it's 65 on the freeway, I'm clocking in at about 70. But I also am not in the left lane unless I'm – and if I get in the left lane, I'm moving with traffic. So if that means I'm going 80 in the left lane because I'm moving with traffic, I'm going 80 in the left lane. And I'm going to try to get back over where I'm comfortable sitting at 70 as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because 70 is fine. In a 65 zone, 70 I'm good with.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable. I'm going a little bit above speed limit, but still trying to go with the flow of traffic.
You feel like you're – yeah, exactly. You kind of have to, you know, judge based on that too, because I do go with the flow of traffic. If the flow of traffic happens to be 75, 80 miles an hour, then that's what you got to do.
You're not going to be sitting at 65 going, nope, I'm not going over.
No, you're
not going to do it.
Well, yeah, because then you're just fighting it at that point.
Well, and you become more of an obstruction.
Exactly. So, okay, now that being said, I feel like she may feel that she has to carry this thing around because it carries so much stuff in her that she has to have with her constantly. Is it makeup? No, it's not always makeup, and it's
could be personal products.
It could be personal products. But what about, there's a lot she has to carry. How many of those things can you shove in your pockets?
There we go.
You know what
and
I mean?
This becomes the point. Have you ever been in a situation where you're by yourself where you wish you had, I don't know, some lip balm or some gum or breath mints?
I never go towards that. I probably should, most likely. I do have a social job, so I could probably carry breath mints around with me just to
tissues.
Well, I constantly need that.
Hell,
like
I know,
especially
you have,
like
you have
in the spring.
Like,
dude, I'll tell you what. I will go through one of those little. That is useless to me. I will go through one of those packages in 3 minutes.
So
that's on a good day in March.
How about how many days are you somewhere where you get a headache? And you think, man, it would be good if I had some, you know, painkillers.
She has all of that on
her.
She
does.
Yeah.
But do you?
No.
Why?
I have no idea.
And this is
I don't
this
think
is part
about that myself. Like, normally, here's what I do. If I need that thing, I just go get that thing for that time. I stop by a gas station, get a little box of tissues, maybe get some headache medicine if I have to. That's
so
pretty much it.
So
but I'm not going to hoard my... Like, that's the thing is... I don't think about that.
Exactly.
But it's just because I don't think about it. It's not that I don't need those things.
Yeah, you would need them.
As many of us that have constant access to those things in any, in practically any situation. But the thing is like, she's like, my wife is my medic.
Yeah.
She's like, she is prepared for literally any situation constantly.
This is where I'm going with this is a societal thing.
This
is a societal thing based on our patriarchal society, our male-dominated society.
Oh, boy. We're getting soapboxy, guys. Fair warning.
Okay, anybody who knows me knows that this is one of my soapboxes. Anybody who's listened and doesn't necessarily know me, you're going to learn today. This is one of my big soapboxes. Because of the way I was raised, because of the family situation I was in, because of the way that both my mother and my father tried to teach me about being a person.
Mm-hmm.
This is some of the things that I was able to learn and see in ways that some people just don't. I see where this male-driven society has created, even in the attempts, in the recent attempts in the last 20 years, we'll say, to bring women more to the forefront of things, I still see where the major stumbling blocks are for the true idea of equality in life. The specific example I'm getting to with this, though, has to do with the things that we wear, the things that we use as our accessorizing for ourselves. And the idea, for instance, that used to be 1950s, women had to wear skirts everywhere. They weren't really acceptable for women to be wearing pants, especially any kind of professional thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even now to this day, while pants have become far more socially acceptable, women in power that wear pants, heck, the idea of women wearing a pantsuit already has a specific denotation to it. People view women wearing pantsuits in a very specific way. I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm talking to you about a Karen, and please, if anybody doesn't know what a Karen is, look that up. I know we've discussed it, I think, once or twice here, but, and this is not an insult specifically to anybody who is named Karen. This is the usage of that name for a specific stereotype of certain type of women that
we can just name it out real quick.
Yeah,
as far as that, like I use, here's what's funny is I happen to use Karen in a non-discriminate factor. I actually was talking to somebody about, I had an issue with my electric bill.
Okay.
And I called PG&E about it.
Yeah.
And they were fighting me every step of the way. So I said this straight to my wife. I went full Karen.
Yeah.
Okay. I went full Karen.
You went full Karen.
I went full Karen. Which so is, what that means is basically that it's almost, it's used in more than one fashion. Originally, it was used just as a...
entitled person.
An entitled person in reference to customer service.
Yes.
But now, depending on what side that you're on, you go with that once you are sick and tired of being pussyfooted around with. That's
so you're,
when it comes down to you, when you have a specific goal in mind to talk to somebody, especially when you're talking to somebody in a customer service situation, so like with, say, your electric company, and they're giving you like
the runaround.
Who's and I'm not trying to badmouth a company specifically, but how many? There was a constant running joke with the company Comcast that was referred to in South Park. Did you ever see that episode?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so basically, long story short, some stuff was happening with, I believe it was like internet or cable service or something like that. And basically what had happened was the purpose of the episode was that Comcast doesn't give a flying rat's ass about your care or your customer service. So whenever somebody tried to call Comcast, they were, and I'm going to get somewhat explicit here, they started going, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry about that. I'm so sorry about that. And they start, you know,
as Mike's saying this, I'll do the descriptive. As Mike's saying this, he's like caressing in a circular motion his nipples.
And at one point, they actually
still closed.
They have these tearaway little sections and they start pulling these tearaway sections and start rubbing their own nipples while they're reciting this customer service. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, we'll see if we can get somebody. Would you like me to get somebody else to talk to?
So
and the problem never gets solved.
So what you're saying is with this discussion with your electrical bill, you use the Karen ability as a tool as opposed to your natural state of being.
If you need to, here's the deal. Like me, normally I'm a pretty patient guy, and my wife is like sitting. she was.
I'm going to say this at the risk.
It is easy to become fuming over the situation we were dealing with.
And I'm going to say this at the risk of getting myself in trouble when she listens to when your wife listens to the podcast. I will probably admit to this.
I'm trying to select my words carefully.
Well,
but,
no, I'll say this so that I can get in trouble for it because I don't have to live here. And
you know, I'm going to residually get in trouble for this anyway.
No, it's all on me.
Okay.
It's all on me.
Okay.
She's listening.
Full disclosure.
You're listening, and I'm going to explain this to her right after we're done recording this. But I can see her going full Karen way quicker than you. Full Karen.
So eventually, what happened was she became my inspiration to go full Karen. As soon as I lost my patience, I was like, "That is it." And so she's telling me what the phone's loud enough for her to hear.
Yeah,
she's telling me essentially what to say. Go, no, you need to say this, and I'm trying to have as much reserve as possible to keep myself from getting hung up on, or just they won't hang up on you until you swear at them.
Yeah.
Pro tip for anybody dealing with customer service over the phone. They can't hang up with you until you start swearing at them or insulting them.
Or saying that you're going to sue.
Or saying that you're going
to
sue.
At that point.
There is a point where they don't need to essentially listen to you because now you're just being jarring. Yeah. But if you bring up lawsuit,
many customer service people
that's company protocol.
Yeah, they're then told that they can't talk to you anymore
because you've created a legal situation.
Yep, and the second you mention the suing part, they can they're going to back off of you.
Well, yeah,
and not talk to you anymore,
and they're not going to do anything for you either.
No, not
they
at
don't
all.
Need to. That's their thing.
No, because it jumps up the chain at that point.
Absolutely. And so you can continue to I'd like to speak to your supervisor. Like,
oh, that's all you did 100%. Was pull the speak to your supervisor?
No.
Okay, you did more
than like,
that.
I asked them about 3 or 4 times.
And they still wouldn't give you one.
And that's when I was like, you need to get me to somebody now. I'm done talking to you. Move it forward. You're not solving my problem. Essentially, I was lied to about a bill structure and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
at the beginning.
Mike, I just want to say I applaud you for your resolve there.
Thank you.
I applaud you. That's not typical Mike behavior because normally he's too nice a guy and almost a little pushovery in different things.
Yeah.
That's some good resolve. Applause to you.
Thank you. But essentially, what we're getting at after that giant
that's all right.
Offshoot is I use terms like Karen, and I use the terms like dude, and I use those in a non-discriminate fashion.
Yeah, well, okay, you can.
Like, you can say dude to a, like, I
call
everybody
dude.
I saw a meme
dude.
Where somebody said, I said dude to a water faucet the other day.
Yeah.
Like,
well, no, we're from California, man. Yeah. Californians call everything dude.
Right. But that's the thing. It's non-gender. Like, is non-gender discriminate at this point.
And I would say Karen falls under that. And even the other gender version, Kyle falls under that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And funny enough, I have a Kyle in my family.
The concept of that just like got me.
I have a Kyle in my family.
Who's your Kyle? No, I can't. Let's not disclose that.
I'll just say there is a Kyle in my family.
Don't we all have one?
No, but like his name is really Kyle.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Is he a Kyle?
I know
a couple of Kyles that are good friends, and neither one of them actually are Kyles.
I will say this much.
In that.
I don't actually spend enough time around him to really give a full understanding of his personality.
Right.
I can say that the time I do spend around him is pleasant.
Good.
He has been a very nice person to me and to my wife and to my kids.
So you meant you have a Kyle in your family by name?
Yes.
Kyle. I was going to say not by demeanor, not by personality.
I might have some that are that way, that are Kyle's by demeanor and personality.
Yeah.
But we'll just leave that up to speculation on their part.
For anybody who doesn't know what a Kyle is, because it's a relatively new term.
Yes.
It's like a human Kool-Aid man that drinks too much.
Yes.
Essentially. They are destructive.
They're destructive and they are very brotastic. I mean, that would be a good way of describing them.
Yeah.
They are the guy that's going to call every single person around them bro, and not in like a funny way like some of us do.
You could use the term bro, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, because like if I'm saying
Kyle is like an extreme bro.
Yeah,
I used to call those people hurricanes.
Yes, that would be a good description of them. That'd be a good description of them.
Yeah,
and yes, Florida is overrun with Kyles. It really makes a lot of sense.
It's a drunk human hurricane. That's pretty much how
it
works.
It is.
Yeah, Okay, so please, what was your...
I don't remember what the original point was.
Well, I know that we were continuing...
That got us on the Karen conversation. I mean, you started with your electrical bill.
But... We were talking about gender stereotypes in general.
Okay.
And that the term Karen does not necessarily need to be restricted to women that are essentially Karen-esque.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I called myself a Karen. That's what I did.
I was speaking about the pantsuit thing.
Yes.
About women in pantsuit. Yeah. They still get judgment on them for wearing the pantsuit. Like they're trying to be too much like men.
Okay.
But here's the fun part for me. Other than Scotland and Ireland and ceremonial garb in like the Eastern Asian countries, men wearing skirts have never really been a thing. Like women were in skirts and then in pants.
Yeah.
But like men never went from pants to skirts. My question is why?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you why.
Here's the why.
Men never went from pants to skirts?
Yes. Here's the why. Do you know that back before, I'm going to say, before the 1900s, the start of the 1900s, babies, whether they were male or female, were dressed the same?
I've seen that, actually. You've
probably seen the FDR picture,
I've noticed that. Yes. He's a baby in a skirt,
well, he's in a long flowing gown, and he's in dresses and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
There's a reason for this. You have never had a baby,
right?
But when a baby takes a poo in their diaper, even in the modern diapers that are the disposable diapers,
to have to remove pants is a nightmare in that
situation.
Beside
the fact that it runs up their back.
I would figure.
It runs up their back.
Oh.
It goes all over the pants. It is a nightmare. If they were just in nightgowns, skirts, dresses, that would be... Lift it right up.
Take it off or whatever.
So much less problem.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
It makes perfect sense why
babies... Just baby clothes in general.
But we started this shift where men had to wear one thing or boys had to wear one thing, girls had to wear another thing. As babies. God, it was always that way as adults, but as babies, they had to have this.
If you look at that situation, why would you have onesies with butt flaps? They make no real use at that point. Maybe for a toddler.
The butt flaps don't... Yeah, the toddler might help. The onesies, the upside of those is, again, the snap and remove.
Yeah.
But still,
it doesn't take off the whole...
No, and it still goes up their back.
Now, you have back buttons on onesies, I've seen. So you can open the back, but I mean, at that point, you're...
Yeah, at that point, you're covered in poo.
Yeah.
And guess what? Being a parent, you're covered in poo. Just accept the fact that as a parent, you're going to be covered in pee, you're going to be covered in poo, you're going to be covered in spit, you're going to be covered in vomit at some point or another.
You're going to understand at one point the importance of your human immune system.
Yes, and how great and beautiful it is. Let your kids eat their boogers. It will make their immune system better. Anyway, scientific studies have proven that.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Scientific studies have proven that. You eat your boogers, it actually helps your immune system. It's healthier for you than doing anything else with them.
Gross.
There's actually...
Wow, that is not something that I expected to talk about.
Anyway, point being, men never switched over to wearing skirts and dresses, again, except in those very select things.
Did they switch from skirts to pants?
No. Well, in a sense, I mean, pants became a thing.
At one point, pants became a thing, right?
But for that, they wore hose and whatnot, and then in other areas, they just wore whatever covered them. You know, in many... As long as their parts was covered, that's all they worried about
in many
situations. But in the modern era, you have women switching from dresses into pants.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cultural shift that they did specifically. Now, they'll say that pants were more comfortable, and they can be, although if you've ever worn a skirt, have you?
No,
I have.
I have not.
I have, and I will tell you, it is quite comfortable and freeing. Little daunting because you're worried if you fall over, somebody will see your undercarriage, but and see what underwear you're wearing, wearing any. But, like, if you're traditional Scottish, you ain't wearing anything under that kilt. But...
No, right.
The point being...
I personally have not done that, but...
It can be comfortable. But, the point being here, you didn't see the shift the other way. And the reason you didn't see the shift the other way, part of the revolution of women wearing pants was to try to bring them more equality to men.
Really? I mean, makes sense.
Think about it. Having pants.
Is that reason? Is that the reason why it's like, you know, it's got such a horrible stigma behind it in the first place?
Yes,
like why it's made fun of so much?
Because men are still fighting back against the idea. Men in general, fighting back against this idea of giving women an equal footing with them.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that plays into many of the ways that we deal with things regarding what it is to be a man.
Okay.
Man needs to know how to change tire on his car, change the oil on his car, do work on his car. Women don't need to know that. But here's the deal. If a man doesn't know how to do those things, he's a sissy. He's womanly. He's not man enough.
Okay.
See, we get into this where these levels come into. Okay?
Right.
We get into where this distinction line comes in.
Okay.
And this leads to this purchase that I have made. This thing that will be delivered to my house hopefully sometime this week. Because this is dealing with me wanting to feel that equality in the opposite way of what most men do. But I've been the type of man the majority of my life that have wanted to feel the equality in a different way. And we'll explain some of that. But now, we're going to take a break. We've set some stuff up. We've had some discussions.
Yeah, dig it.
We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to reveal the purchase, reveal my motives behind it, and why this plays into this whole patriarchy thing, and how I am hoping to be, at least in my own way, a one-man army against this.
Interesting. Okay.
Rephrase, a one-person army against this. All right, I'm going to use my pronouns properly. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back. All right, I'm gonna just reveal the purchase since we've already had people listening for half an hour. I'm gonna reveal the thing that I purchased.
Going back and forth about Karen-ing?
Yes. I'm gonna reveal the thing I purchased. I purchased a man bag.
Oh,
what
okay.
What I've been referring to over the last couple of days as a merce.
Right. Merce. I mean it's been
now, this is
spoken about as a merce, quote unquote. I've heard that term before.
That's why I'm using it. It's like I did not coin the term. I'm just I'm using it for my purposes.
Merce, man, purse. It's not a purse. It's a satchel.
It is. It was advertised as a tactical bag for men.
Oh, good Lord! How far out do you have to go in order to market it?
This is the thing. Men carrying around a bag is considered such a social stigma thing.
Yeah.
Now, if the man appears to be effeminate or if the man is openly gay, him carrying around a bag is no big deal because that's expected. Because what it comes down to is you and I are not normal straight men.
Right.
Or what do they call it? Cisgendered? Is that what they call it?
We are. Okay. So, well, okay. Cisgender, straight and cis are two different things.
Okay.
Cisgender, cis as a term.
Please
this
explain.
Is actually, some people get offended by this, so I'm going to explain this
please
right
explain,
now.
Please explain, because I'm still murky
cis
on this myself.
Cis is, if I remember correctly, it is either a Latin or a Greek terminology that just means same.
Okay.
Cisgendered, as opposed to transgendered.
So on the same.
Cis means on the same side of, trans means on a different side of.
That's in reference to the gender that I was assigned at birth.
Yes.
And so cisgendered means
you identify with the gender that you were assigned with at birth.
And I'm glad you're using the same phrasing as I am, because I've been doing some research into this recently.
Yes.
The proper phrasing to use is assigned at birth.
Yes.
And not what you were born as.
Right.
Because there's a difference between what you were born as and what you were assigned as at birth. It is a difference in the language that it does connotate two different things.
It does, very much so. And the big difference between the two is the fact that an assigned gender at birth, your quote unquote, your biological, well, I wouldn't say biological because your physical assigned gender can be different from what you identify as a person. Now, some people do not discover this until later, especially the fact that you go by your assigned gender at birth, and it is essentially that is assumed up to the point where you may or may not discover that you don't identify with that.
Well, and again, this entire thing we're talking about this patriarchal society pushing back on women's power, women's freedom, women's equality.
Yeah.
You're flat out making it so that one gender appears better than another gender, also making it so that gender is binary, which it may not necessarily be.
I believe gender and sexual orientation were somewhat lumped together, but I remember there were many Native American tribes that actually identified
had multiple
at least
genders and multiple,
six or seven different types, quote unquote, technically speaking.
Multiple genders and multiple sexual identities.
Yes.
But again, this patriarchal system that we are so enmeshed in makes gender a binary system. just male or female, nothing else involved.
And by the way, when we're talking about, just to kind of help define this, we're not trying to say patriarchal as a term of offense. We're not trying to say it to trigger people that are used to what things are as far as social normativity that's being challenged. The difference is, the big reason why we're saying it as it is because, as it has been proven in world history, if you look at social history, male-dominated societies, which have been essentially the majority, if not the only ones that I know personally.
Actually, a lot of smaller native groups in America.
Some of them are.
Smaller native groups. Some of the larger native groups in America before the English invasion and, or not, there's, let me rephrase, the European invasion and destruction and killing and stealing of land.
Yeah.
There were large numbers of native populations here in America that were matriarchal societies, female-driven societies. The ancient Celtic societies were matriarchal societies.
Okay.
The ancient Sumerians actually were originally they were matriarchal society, and they were one of the first societies on record. Because the ancient Sumeria existed even before the ancient Egyptian societies.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
They're one of the first ones that we have any records of because they actually were one of the first to have a written language that they wrote down on things.
Wow.
Sadly, they used clay tablets, so we did lose a lot of the information due to clay coming in contact with water and being destroyed.
Right.
But we have a large number of things from the Sumerian culture. They were in the same area that we now consider the Middle East. Sumerians were between the Tigris and Euphrates River in modern day Iraq.
Yeah,
that's where that culture was major. And it was the first one that showed us a true writing system. Some of the writings we have from them on some of the clay tablets are things like baking instructions for food.
Oh, cool!
And what looks to be like lists of the closest equivalent, it would be like grocery items.
Oh, cool.
So they used their forms of writing not just for like major communication like the Egyptians, but they used it for the basic everyday stuff as well.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which is kind of neat. Originally, that society was a matriarchal society. In fact, it was a polytheistic society.
Uh-huh.
Their religious beliefs had multiple gods that did multiple weird things. I mean, some of the ancient religions had some kind of funny things that the gods did. I mean, we're talking the way that they created rivers were a little weird by our modern terms. Makes sense because rivers are life-bringing things.
Yeah.
And they use life-bringing parts of themselves to create these rivers, if you get where I'm going.
Okay, I think I understand what's going on. Yeah, I'm not – yeah, let's – yeah.
But the in the ancient Sumerian stuff, the gods and the goddesses were on equal levels of power.
Okay.
Reflecting the society being on equal levels of power.
This really
the culture kind of fell apart and it grew into the Babylonian and Akkadian cultures. Okay. And you actually find a lot of the Babylonian deities in their polytheistic religions and the Akkadian deities in their polytheistic religion are in some way related to the Sumerian gods and goddesses as if they're children or grandchildren of those gods. But it's a whole different system. It leads people to think that maybe they weren't actual gods and goddesses, but just really prominent people in their societies.
Oh, cool.
That were deified like we do to celebrities nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But some of the myths held over, some of the ideas held over, what we started to see in the Babylonian and the Akkadian was the rise of the patriarchal society. And then as you move forward, you see in the ancient Egyptians.
I was going to say, that was my next question. I figured you were going to answer it.
The ancient Egyptians were a very, very much a patriarchal society. And in fact,
there was a lot of worship of goddesses, though, and a lot of queens as well.
There was, but the thing with the queens, though, they were always they're queens because they were part of the single family line. And the way they kept the family line going in that is to have brothers and sisters marry each other and have more kids.
Right, right.
Well, and so you had what we would consider an incestuous family line, but then you knew the line traced from the main person, the main male figure at the top of the line, his son or daughter was ruling, and his grandson or granddaughter was ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was straight down the line, so you knew that descendancy came straight down the line. There are other religions that came into play that specifically created a situation where, in fact, there are many scholars who have theorized that marriage came as a result, the incorporation of marriage in many religious things came about as a result of trying to put men in charge of descendancy. Because you always know who the mother of the kid is, because she's the one that carries it and pops it out.
Right.
But before the institution of marriages, you didn't necessarily always know who the father was. In fact, in many ancient Celtic like rituals, mm-hmm. there were a few of their rituals, like there's some of their spring rituals, mm-hmm. where they would have what we would call massive orgies, open sexual experiences with multiple people. And you would not always know who the father of the babies were that were born after those orgies. But nobody cared, because the entire community would help take care of the children, but it was the mother's responsibility. Now, like, we had an instance where, for instance, you were in the village, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody else in the village had dark hair.
Right.
And one of the kids come out after the orgy with red hair.
Right.
That's that dude's kid.
Right.
But for the most part, you didn't necessarily know. You might see some resemblances, but it wasn't necessarily overly important who the father was in the matriarchal societies.
Yeah.
The women controlled the children, the birthing of the children. They controlled property. There were definitely a couple of Native American groups. One that actually was centered around the Marysville, Yuba City area, one of the major Native American groups there, where the women owned all the property. The women owned the land.
Really?
The women owned their homes, their tents, their whatever their home structures were.
Huh.
And the men would go from tribe to tribe, intermarrying the different tribal groups as part of enriching one tribe to another.
I was going to say, but so the women essentially had the power. Using marriage as a business transaction. In many ways. Similarly to a lot of...
Well, how European...
A lot of Anglo used, stuff used...
And they would use the women in the transactions for that.
For sure.
It was quite opposite and backwards.
Interesting.
But when you're married, right? Like, I'm married. Mm-hmm. I have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
One would assume that because I'm married to her and part of the marriage contract is she is only supposed to have sexual relations with me. I'm technically only supposed to have sexual relations with her. Although men can and did have sexual relations outside of their initial marriage, but those were bastard kids that weren't a claim to anything that the man had as his property.
Yeah, they're illegitimate.
They're illegitimate.
Yeah.
So the kids that she produces should be my kids. And thus, that's how I trace my descendancy, because otherwise there'd be no way to trace it.
And obviously, under the radar, there was some stuff like that that was happening.
Well, but the point is, marriage puts into the hand of the male the control of the children and of the family and of the descendancy, when in fact, previous to that, in many, 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 again, I don't know the right word to use, but early societies, early civilizations, women had far more control because they were technically the ones to have the children, be in control of the children.
That makes sense.
You knew it was that woman's child. They had the power of creation.
Right.
I mean, honestly,
a lot of that makes sense. Now, I was not privy to a lot of this information. I am very loose on my world
this is why this is a particular thing. Like, you did the whole disclaimer with the patriarchy and how we're not trying to attack anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with you slightly on that. You are not trying to attack anything. I am trying to attack the establishment. And the reason I am is because...
And I understand that, but the attack of the establishment and the attack of the... I know where you're going. Yeah. The attack of the establishment is not the attack on the, it's not the attack on the terminology.
No.
You should, my point is that people that are triggered by the word, using the word patriarchy to describe what you're talking about, is they shut themselves off at that. And I'm trying to at least do some semblance of retainment here, because this is about education.
I'd be a little bit personal. I'd be a little bit of inflaming and attacking here to say the people that shut off immediately when they hear patriarchy are people that are using it and hiding behind it to try to keep their status where they want it to be, as I would say more likely males, but even there are even some females that want the status of men being in charge and women not being in charge.
That's my opinion, and
that's my feeling on it. Admittedly, this is one of those things that gets me a little incensed.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. As a matter of fact, I look at this and I ask the same question. I ask, why is this like this? Because there's a lot of examples why it shouldn't be like this.
I mean, I can give you my personal feelings as to why I think this is like this.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that the men who want to perpetuate this system, the men who want to have this, I honestly think they're jealous of women's ability to have children.
It's a possibility.
I think they're jealous of the fact that... Now, this goes into many realms.
I have my own theory about this as well.
Okay.
It's a bit simpler, but please continue.
Let me finish real quick.
Yeah.
I think they're jealous of women in all categories. I think that women are just, I personally believe women are a more complete form of creation than what we are. Mm-hmm. I think they're way better than us. I can say, again, this is coming from the mind of a straight man.
Okay.
Women got the looks and the physical appearance ability far beyond men. I mean, I think
part of that has to do with the establishment of looking at women as property. You want the nicer looking car, right?
I'm talking women's bodies in general just look more appropriate. I don't care how nice looking the women's bodies are.
Yeah,
women's bodies just look like that. That's perfect. Men, we're not. But maybe that's also the fact that I'm attracted to women.
That's also the. That's very true. That's, it could be, I mean, that as well.
There's that part of it. I just personally believe that most of the men that are trying to forward this are jealous of women in general.
That's very possible. I think that there's a thing with jealousy. I think my issue comes down to a simpler idea.
Okay.
That what has been the dominant established. The dominant established norm of society, which is essentially, for the most part, worldwide, is pretty much patriarchal at this point. Okay, I think the problem is that those people in charge don't know how to process equality and only understand that, like, this is one of the things that I see. They only understand, how do I define this properly? They essentially only understand that ownership cannot be shared of something.
I get what you're saying.
So
they think that what they're thinking is that if they are to give equality, they lose.
Yes.
And that's the thing, sharing is they don't want to lose anything.
Means that you lose it.
I get that.
That's my understanding of the situation.
I'm 100% behind you.
There's nothing else that they can process. They can't process equal pay for equal work because they feel like they're losing something.
And I think that goes straight along the board, not just when it comes to male and female, but when it comes to racial situations as well.
See, it has to do with establishment. The thing is that the ones that are in charge, that are up at the top,
they don't want to lose their station.
They don't want to lose their station by allowing other people to have
the same station.
Equal opinions. Even though you don't lose your status by sharing your status with somebody else, but they look at status as an object of ownership.
Exclusivity of it.
Yes. Exclusivity is something that they must own. They must have.
I have this and you don't.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Therefore, because I have it, I am worth more than you.
Yeah.
But the problem with the idea of all of this is that you technically don't lose that status when you share it with somebody else.
Yeah, you don't. It's a shared thing.
That's a thing that many people don't know or understand.
We need to make note of that. That dovetails very well into an economic discussion if we ever are able to have.
Oh yeah, totally.
Because that's why kids, we have a capitalist system, and all the people that are involved in the capitalist system are refusing to have a socialist system because they don't want everybody else on an equal level. So what they do is they scare you and make you think that socialism is communism, but communism is the same thing as capitalism. It's one group of people owning more than the rest of the people and keeping the rest of the people subjugated. We'll talk about that, though, later when we do the economics story. Anyway, back to the original point here.
We were talking about a bag.
So for a man to be able to have one of these bags, back to my tactical bag, my merch that I'm buying, for a man to have one of these bags.
Tactical man purse.
They literally have to advertise these things in the most manly way possible.
Yeah.
Because to advertise them as anything less than a manly item, they even try to, the word tactical is a perfect example. That's supposed to imply that it has some kind of basis in some kind of military or paramilitary activity. And what's more manly than the military or paramilitary groups?
I would say what's more manly than the word tactical?
I mean, that's
the word. You add tactical to anything and it automatically becomes a more manly device.
Yeah.
You can call it a tactical purse. You could call it a tactical makeup kit. That's right?
Yeah, tactical makeup kit. I'm like, cool. I can get a ghillie suit and put on my camouflage.
That's what you think when you hear the word tactical.
You hear that?
Yes.
If you get a shirt that's a tactical shirt, that thing's camo. For sure.
Totally.
For sure. And I'll be able to hide somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that word has so much connotation to it. But that's how they have to sell these things.
Yes.
And it's funny, because as I was looking through the various ads for these things with all the different people modeling them, you know, because they have people modeling them, show you how they fit on you.
Oh, of course, of course.
Obviously, it's not going to fit entirely like it did on the model on me, because the model was like 180 pounds, and I am not. So there's going to be that. I mean, it's going to be resting on my belly, as opposed to sitting on my side like it was on the model guy.
Right.
But the model guys for all the different tactical bags, they were all clean shaven, right?
Right.
Hair done fairly nice. Pretty, not super buff guys, but pretty decent built guys. All of them wearing sunglasses. Aviator style sunglasses, no less. Now they had all the other man bags that they were offering.
Right.
But the smaller ones that looked a little more delicate. The one that had like on the bottom of it, will look like a belt and a buckle as a decorative thing.
Uh-huh.
That guy was wearing a button-up shirt that was kind of pastel-y color and a vest and much more delicate sunglasses.
Interesting.
You know, like designer-style sunglasses.
Is that the one you
went
with?
Slacks. No, I went with the tactical one for a specific reason. I'll explain why. No, it was not because it said tactical and it made me feel more manly.
But I'm sure at this point that's been established.
But no, the one that had more of a delicate, refined designer look to it,
yeah,
the guy was, you know, blue slacks, dark blue slacks, pastel shirt, vest, the designer sunglasses.
Very sleek. Very model-esque, I guess.
Very, very, I can't even think of the phrase that I'm looking for.
Very Target mannequin.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And I know the phrase I'm looking for. It's kind of gone out of service recently.
What is
it? But I remember a time when it was a major phrase.
Okay.
Metrosexual.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Very much that kind of
boy,
look.
Yeah. That term, I don't hear that.
No, that one's disappeared.
Very much anymore.
But it has that kind of a look to it, and it's like, The specific bags are definitely targeting the specific audience.
Yeah.
The ones that say tactical, though, those are more for the idea of, oh, yeah, a man can have this. A man can wear this. It's okay for a man to have it. Now, I picked the tactical bag because it specifically had a bunch of pockets and whatnot on it.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay, my vape can go in this pocket. That's cool.
Yeah.
My phone can go in that one. I can put this in that one. And my reason for getting it is quite simple. Go back to the original thing that we started at the very beginning of this discussion.
Uh-huh.
The clothes that we wear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, men have pockets on their clothes. And women, as you mentioned, hate the fact that men get to have pockets. And pockets that are functional instead of just decorative pockets.
Yeah,
I don't blame them for it, because it is frustrating that because they're women, they don't get to have they don't get to have real pockets on their clothing.
Yeah.
I love, for instance, when a woman has a dress and the dress has pockets and how happy they are that the dress has pockets.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that.
It's so very cool. Mm-hmm. But it's terrible and there's actually a reason why, we'll get into that another day, why women's clothes doesn't have pockets, specifically why they've never put them in there.
Okay. So they require, is this to sell purses?
No, but there are other reasons for it. There's actually cultural reasons, not design and not economic reasons. There's cultural reasons behind this.
Okay.
But men's pockets, as you've stated, are only really acceptable for your wallet, your keys, your phone. That's about it.
Yeah.
You really don't have your guitar picks. You don't have much else right. of room. If you want to carry any of these things with you, I mean, again, like I said, wouldn't it be nice to have tissues with you or something that you could work as tissues? I mean, tissues for you only last so long, but still.
No.
Wouldn't it be nice that you didn't have to run to a gas station and spend $4 on 2 aspirin? As opposed to having a small bottle of aspirin that only cost you $1.50 from the store.
Oh, yeah.
That would last you for a long time. Wouldn't it be nice to have breath mints? Wouldn't it be nice to have throat lozenges?
By the way, before we started this podcast, for anybody who's concerned, James discovered that he ran out of throat lozenges just before the episode.
And poor Mike is going to have to do a lot of editing on the second half of this episode.
Yeah, there's some cough editing that's happening here that you guys hopefully will miss.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of coughing this second side, and it's like, damn, I need to make sure to grab some of those. I'll be heading to the store directly after this, and I'll be buying another package of cough drops.
Okay, so
one for home and one for here. But
if I may interject for a second, speaking about this, this is what I find really funny. I remember like 2-3 years ago, seeing a bunch of people that were like, especially just, it seemed like it was a I'm not trying to be necessarily biased here, but it seemed somewhat female centric when it came down to fashion. People trying to diss cargo shorts, like guys that wear cargo shorts.
Yes, cargo shorts were being attacked all the time.
They were being attacked left and right. Oh man, they're so useless and unfashionable and all this kind of stuff. I was like, pockets. You know what it's got? It's got pockets freaking everywhere. I got two extra giant ass pockets on my legs. I've got big ass pockets on the top. I've got big ass pockets in the back. You know, I don't need to carry anything extra. I could literally carry all of the things that you're talking about going around town,
okay,
I could
have great,
that stuff. It's something that I essentially just recently realized more than anything. So, I mean, what's funny is I use those cargo pockets to put my wallet in, and I don't put my wallet in my upper pocket.
Neither do I.
I don't put it in my back. Like, well, one of the issues that I have with
wallet
in the back pocket. While I'm driving, what happened? My leg goes numb.
Yeah, well, that actually, because there is a nerve directly there.
Yeah.
That you actually are doing damage to your spine.
Yes.
To your hip.
Yep.
And can have nerve damage by having your wallet in your back pocket like
yes.
that. It's actually really, really unhealthy to
What's
do that.
What's funny is my jeans, and here's the problem. The wallet itself is too big to fit into the front pocket. The back pockets are larger.
Exactly.
So the problem comes down to, I can't fit it in here because it's sitting there.
Have you?
It's sitting there jabbing into my hip while
seen,
I'm sitting down.
Have you seen my wallet before?
No, sir.
My wallet is literally the length and width of a cell phone,
okay.
and about 3/4 of an inch to an inch thick. Yeah,
no.
It's the size of most of your modern cell phones.
Yeah,
and that's how big my wallet. You laying up on my cell phone, still the same size but thicker.
So I enjoy cargo shorts.
Cargo shorts can
be helpful
because
I can put my wallet in the side pocket on my leg.
Now here's the thing. Does that then start bringing your shorts down, trying to fall off you?
Not if I'm wearing a belt.
Okay. There are people that are built in certain ways that they can't use that because it's literally pulling their clothing off me, even if they are wearing
a belt. I can understand that.
And see, but that's the thing is, you have to go to the extreme of having cargo shorts to be able to carry all the things you'd like to be able to carry.
Don't they make drawstring cargo shorts?
They do, and yet for people who are in a situation, for instance, similar to mine, where they actually have no ass.
Yes.
There's nothing to hold your pants. Like,
I don't have
like
much of an ass either, James.
Yeah, you may have a little more than me. I don't know. I have none. I've not spent a lot of time looking at your ass, so I can't say how much you have.
No, it sucks how much I have to pull my pants back up, because especially when I do like a more physical job, like I'm rolling cables around and running all over the place and doing all that kind of stuff, dude. I got to pull my pants up all the time.
I can say in the last, what are we at? 8 months now?
Yeah.
No, 7 months now, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 7-8 months, I can say that there's been about 4 or 5 times in the process of you getting things together here in the in your studio,
mm-hmm.
moving things around while we're prepping, that, you've given me some plumber's crack.
I apologize for that. There's nothing right. I can do about it.
I expect it'll happen at some point or another. I deal with it.
I understand.
It happens. I'm not.
Believe
I'm not
me, I'm the one who deals
time.
With it more than anybody.
I know. I'm not going to call you out each time because it's not polite. I know you're not like. It's not like you're mooning me on purpose.
No.
So I'm not worried about it necessarily.
Just
but
accidental.
I'm just saying. I'm using that as the example of. I know it happens to you.
Yeah. Totally.
But that's the thing is, it's great to have those cargo shorts. I have a couple of pair that are the board shorts that have the cargo pockets on the side. And they are great to have, but at the same time, they weigh you down. They're smacking against your legs. It can be a pain in the butt to use. But they give us at least something to carry these things. But like I said, wouldn't it be great to have some of those, the lip balm? Wouldn't it be great to be able to carry around allergy medication.
So
that when you go visit a certain friend's house that has a whole load. See, I stopped myself there. Wow.
Thank you.
A whole load of cats, which is one of your allergens, the things that bothers you. Wouldn't it be great that you don't have to walk in and be like, hey, you guys got any allergy medication? You could just reach in your bag, MERS, and grab yourself out some allergy medication.
Hey, totally, man. I understand the use of it. It makes perfect sense.
But it's sad that there's such a social stigma about men wearing them and men using them. Like a backpack, a backpack's acceptable, but a backpack really isn't all that easy to store all that stuff in. Because like if you put your wallet and your phone and all that in your backpack,
totally.
You need to get to it. What do you have to do? Pull your arms out of the straps of the backpack and flip it around in front of you and start reaching in the pockets.
Yeah.
If you're wearing a purse, you just typically it's over the shoulder, either over the head and one shoulder or over just a single shoulder, right?
Yeah.
And you can just move it to the front and start getting into it.
Get into it. It's not
Simple
really a big
and
deal.
Easy. And that's the thing is, it's, I have just found whenever I go anywhere, I have my phone, I have my keys, mm-hmm. I have my wallet. And again, I've told you the size of the wallet and the, and whatnot, how huge it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have my, I'm still a little old school in that I have an iPod to take into the car to play all my music on.
Mm-hmm.
I have my vape.
Okay.
I have my, so that's five items. I have my vape juice. I have an extra set of batteries for my vape.
Too much, man.
Occasionally I like to bring along with me a, depending on whether I'm going somewhere nice and have to be around people, I like to bring at least a comb along with me so I can comb out the beard mm-hmm. a little bit before I have to deal with people. Or if I'm not wearing a hat, I can, whatever product I use in my hair is a product that'll help hold it down, but I don't use like gel to make it stiff. It's more like the waxy stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the hair will move around.
Yeah.
So I can use the comb to comb that back a little bit too.
Yeah.
I always have my sunglasses on me. Which I usually put on top of my hat, but I go through sunglasses fairly
that way
quickly.
You don't. Okay, one of the things I hate about people that do stuff with sunglasses is I don't know why I can see guys hanging their sunglasses
which I can't
at their
do.
Chest.
I can't do because the beard.
What I don't get is people hanging their sunglasses on their back. Just the back of the collar hanging off the back. It's the weirdest thing.
I don't like the ones that put them backwards on
you
their head.
You
could
put them on
ears.
Top of your head.
Yeah, I do, which is what I normally do.
Yeah, see, that makes more sense. I don't understand sticking your sunglasses on your back. If that's the case, why'd you bring them?
But I'm looking at eight things that I'm carrying on me other than the few pieces of jewelry that I wear.
Mm-hmm.
But I got eight things I'm carrying on me that I have to figure out a way to carry it just into the car. And then most mornings I'm carrying my cup of coffee as well when I'm leaving my house. This is 10
your hands
items.
Are taking, well, here's the thing. Like that's a hot, you're not going to put that into a bag, but
no.
Regardless, like you're going to still have that handful. So you're going to have one free hand to do and carry all that stuff with you.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. I totally understand.
And
that.
So what it's come down to is, you know what? I need something to carry these things. And I've tried a backpack,
mm-hmm.
but it's not working. So this entire thing has been about my journey. This entire thing today, discussion, my journey as to why I have decided to buy myself a purse and have a purse that I'm going to be carrying around.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
I'm. Thank you. And I knew you would say that. I knew you would say that. But I also know that there's still judgment. Now, to throw this out in case a certain person is listening to this, there is another possibility for men. But I firmly believe that there are only certain people that can pull this other possibility off.
I think I know what you're talking about. If I can,
what am I
it
talking
out.
About?
You're talking about fanny packs.
I am.
I'm not a fanny pack fan. That is the look. I personally believe that a satchel is far more fashionable than a fanny pack.
I think that wrestlers can pull off fanny packs because you just kind of don't tell wrestlers what to do. And when they're wearing,
are they the only ones?
When they're wearing the Zubas pants, there's actually only one other person that I think can pull off a fanny pack, and only because this is a biased opinion of mine, completely biased because of who the person is.
Okay.
And he's been wearing one for 20 years, I think.
Who?
25 years. My father.
Oh, okay.
Is the only other person that I think can pull it off. And I think that's
you can associate the fanny pack with him then.
I've become so used to seeing him wearing one. And it's actually kind of a nice thing when you're shopping with him that he's wearing one.
Yeah.
Because he also wears his keys on it. So I'm sure that has anybody ever tracked you by your keys when they can't find you in a store? Okay, maybe not.
Yes.
This is a brilliant thing. If you're shopping with my father.
My keys are on my carabiner. You can hear where I'm at all
if
the time.
If you're shopping with my father and you've lost him, just stop and listen. You hear the ch ch ch.
Yep.
That's where my dad is. Follow the sound. So, and I have tried the fanny pack in the past. Mm-hmm. I have worn one. The way my body is built and the way that I wear my pants, I'm not comfortable with it. It doesn't work.
I totally understand.
When I was about 70 pounds lighter,
mm-hmm.
I could wear one with little problem. But I'm one of those, for those who have not seen me, who don't personally know me and you know whatnot, I carry all my weight in the belly area. I don't carry it much anywhere else. I would like if some of it shifted, for instance, to the butt, because then I would have one. But yeah, all the weight for me is all in the belly, and so that kind of restricts what I can do with that.
I can understand that.
But anyway, thank you for listening to my journey for this. Thank you for realizing that I'm a little crazy and that something so big is prompting me to have these feelings about it.
I can understand that.
It was nice to
be
able to talk a little bit about it, because while I am secure in myself, I am still this whole mentality still preys upon me and still makes me think I'm a guy and I shouldn't have that bag. Even though I know it's a totally okay thing, I would be totally okay with anybody else doing it. I still have that. I have that barrier to get over even within myself.
Yeah.
Even as progressive as many of us want to be, all of that years and years of this is how things are, this is the way society is, this is the way it should be, it still preys on you. It still controls you even if you don't realize it subconsciously.
Yeah, totally.
It's still in your brain. So, James is getting a purse, everybody.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Now, Mike, where can people find us?
All right. Well, you guys can find us at zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. That's where our podcast is uploaded to and where you can directly find us. You can also, if you're listening to us, go to TuneIn. You can go to Spotify. You can go to
Google.
Google. Thank you. There's Apple. We're still figuring that out. It's been a while, but we're still figuring it out. As far as Zenchron as well, you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And you can also check us out if you are missing any of these podcasts or want to hear. Like we have, we've been doing this for a little while now.
We're in the high
30 episodes now.
Is it 30 now?
I think we hit 30.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we hit 30 last week, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it's this week. I don't know. But either way, you can only go back a certain amount on the podcasts, I believe, from the website or from the
TuneIn or Spotify.
From TuneIn or Spotify. So if you want to go to our YouTube channel,
please
do. If you subscribe and hit the bell icon, you'll know when we load up something new, but every single back episode is on our YouTube page.
And let me tell you, if you're hearing us on the other things, please go to YouTube. Please subscribe. Please hit the icon.
Yeah.
Just because YouTube is one of those things, they like to see a lot of people subscribing. They will do cool things for us if we have more subscribers. So this is a little bit of a selfish thing I'm asking
Maybe
for.
Maybe a little bit.
But please, please get on the YouTube, get following us, get the bell icon so that you can get updated. And thanks for listening more than anything else.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. You all have a good one.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.